I heard a joke the other day, and as many will tell you, I'm not the best to tell jokes, but I'm going to do my best on this one because it was kind of funny. There was a church meeting, or there was a church service, so the preacher said at the beginning of his sermon, he goes, "After service, I want to meet with the church board in the back." So at the end of the service, the church board meets in the back. Well, at the end of the service, the board gathered up in the back. And then there was a stranger, this first-time visitor, who walked back and tried to join the meeting. And the minister just kind of looked perplexed, looks over at him and said, "Sir, you do realize this is the church board meeting that I announced that we were going to have?" And he goes, "Well, I was pretty bored like everybody else, so I thought I'd come back and join in for the meeting." But he did come back for a meeting. Something he said talked him into going and staying for a meeting to be a part of something. In our church, in all churches, we ask people for the opportunity to serve, to be a part of serving, to be a part of the church body by serving in different ways and various forms. And that is our code word for this week. This is our last week in the series. We're looking at the word someday and how we use someday as a code word for never. "I'll do that someday." And we never get around to it. I've talked about a number of different things. This week, the word I want to talk about is service. One day I'll serve. One day I'll be a part of that and help out here or help out there. One day I'll do this. But we never get around to it. Now here's the thing, what it says in the Bible about serving. Bible doesn't give everybody a specific job description. You can't open up your Bible and you see, oh, it says for Butch Waite to help in this area and that, to not talk and to... That verse right there. I'm kidding.
Thank you so much.
Oh, glad to help. But there's not a place in the Bible that tells us where each and every one of us are to serve specifically. There's not a place in the Bible that says where we are to serve specifically. Let me tell you, 20 years ago, I would have never thought I'd have been in Northeast Ohio. I was in Northeastern Kentucky. And never thought I would be here. Never thought I'd have been in Pennsylvania for 8 years. Bible doesn't say exactly where. But the Bible does talk about the attitude that we are supposed to have while we are serving. The attitude that we're supposed to have when we're involved in the church. And I want to look at those characteristics this morning because those attitudes help us to keep from saying, "Someday I'll serve," and changing "someday" to "today." Now I will serve. The first is the presence of humility. The first is the presence of humility. When you think of judges, when you think of the book of Judges, who's the first judge that pops in your head? First judge. You can answer. It's not rhetoric. First judge that pops in your head. Samson. Yes, I heard Samson. The first one we always think of. As I read through the book of Judges over and over again, Samson, to me, seems like the worst of all the judges in his attitude. You think about it. Think about the life he lived. God used him. But what was Samson doing? Samson would get mad because he got tricked on a riddle, or that he would give a riddle And they would figure out the answer. They'd sneak around and figure out the answer so he'd get mad and have revenge. Or he had issues with his wife. And it caused fights. It caused Samson to go kill a bunch of people. All this is things that God had planned for him to do, but in his heart, what he was doing, God was just basically using him to fulfill what things he needed done. Samson was just almost just like a blunt object going in there and destroying everything. He was cocky. He was arrogant. And then that night came when he got tricked. When Delilah seduced him. When Samson had his hair cut off and his strength left him. When Samson was captured and his eyes were gouged out. His perspective changed. The Philistines, they sure made fun of him after that. Look at this guy. This was the guy who kept defeating us. Now look at him. He's nothing. Then his hair started growing back. And nobody paid attention because he hadn't done anything for so long. He was captured. He was put as a spectacle for the world to see. Everybody was making fun of him. They didn't think he could do anything because his eyes were gone. He was nothing. And then, at the end of Judges, if you want to turn your Bible over to Judges 16, we read what happens to him. Judges 16, verses 27 through 30. We read what happens. I want you to hear this here. It says, "Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform." Let me stop there. So Samson goes to the guy defeating all these guys, to the clown. Perform. Do what we want you to do. Let me go on. Verse 28. "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived." Now, Samson said in there, "Let me get revenge." But you can tell from the way he's talking, the way he's saying things, his whole attitude has changed. He's not cocky anymore. He's not thinking he's unbeatable. He knows he needs help. He knows he needs God's help. He knows he has to rely on his strength, God's strength, to get this done. And he was willing to sacrifice himself. In my eyes, looking at it, his heart humbled. His heart humbled. Unfortunately, for many people, being humble and serving is a hard thing to do. When you go into the New Testament, the apostles seem like had to be slapped over the head time and time again to be reminded to be humble. One of those times we find in Mark 9. The apostles were having some problems. They were having an argument. They were deciding which one of them was the greatest. Now I want you to think about that. You have the apostles deciding which one are the greatest, and who are they with? They're with Jesus, walking around doing all this, but they're deciding amongst themselves, which one of us is the greatest? And it's a silly argument, but yet they're making this argument nevertheless. It was childish. And when they're doing this, they're taking their focus off of Jesus and just putting it on themselves. And now I want you to listen to what Jesus says to them. In Mark 9, it says this, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?'" Now let me stop there. They've been sitting there saying, which one is the greatest? And now Jesus asks them what they're discussing. Would you want to be the one to say, "Well, Jesus, we were discussing which one of us was the best"? That's not anything I would want to be telling Jesus, "That's what I discussed." But let me go on. "But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone would be the first, he must be the last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'" Jesus says, "Do you understand? You've got to be last to be first. You've got to be last to be first. You don't, being prideful isn't going to work. Be humble. Be willing to sacrifice. And not say, "Well, this is beneath me. I'm not going to do that work. That's beneath me. I'm better than that. I'm not going to do that. That's too simple for me." We don't just wait for the times that makes us look good. "Oh, someday I'll serve. Oh, that's a good opportunity. Yeah, I think I'll serve right here and do this where everybody can see me." We don't wait for someday. We don't look for a time that makes us look better. We serve when there's an opportunity. We serve when the opportunity arrives. Not just when it makes us look good. Otherwise, we're caught in that sin and we're dancing around just like Samson was dancing around for those people putting on a show. We're not serving, we're putting on a show. We got to have a heart of humility. Even when it's not pretty. Hey, there are many times when we serve when what we're serving, what we're doing is serving God's kingdom and doing what we're supposed to be, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be an easy task to do. Maybe we're going to help somebody who's in a lot of need, who is struggling a lot. We have the opportunity to help them. Have you had those opportunities? When those opportunities came up, what did you do? Did you say, "Yes, Lord"? As it's quoted in Isaiah, "Yes, Lord, here I am, send me." Did we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll serve"? Or did we say, no, I don't think that's what he wants me to do. We must be careful when we say things like that. Because let me tell you, sometimes it's not going to be pretty, which leads to my second point. If we're willing to serve and serve now and not put it off till someday, we will get dirty. We will get dirty. In John chapter 13, John is recording the events just before the Lord's Supper. And we find here Jesus doing something that the apostles didn't expect. That seemed to have happened a lot. Jesus did things the apostles didn't think, well, that's not how I would have done it. Well, we're not Jesus. In John 13, we find Jesus washing the apostles' feet. Let me read to you. John chapter 13, verses 3 through 6. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Here's what Peter's seeing. He's seeing that Jesus is making himself unclean. One of the laws at that time was if you washed your feet, your arms became unclean. Because it's not like it is here. You know, we have nice carpet we walk on. We walk out to concrete, then the blacktop. Then we get in our vehicles. Our feet stay, our shoes stay pretty clean. I don't know of many blacktop areas in the first century. Don't know of very many at all. And also, they wouldn't have nice shoes. Sandals. So their feet are exposed. And how many times in scriptures do we read about these guys walking from here or there to this spot, to that spot? I mean, I guess every once in a while they could cut across a field. But how often are they traveling on dirt roads? When they walk through the towns, it's dirt. Their feet get really dirty. And so it's custom when they go into their houses that they wash their feet. And when they wash their feet, well, their hands become unclean. So they ended up having their non-Jewish slaves, the ones who were wealthy enough, had their non-Jewish slaves wash their feet. So they would be unclean. And then that was their job all day. Wash feet. Wash feet. Wash feet. How would you like to have that job? Wash feet all day. That does not sound fun. But Jesus gets down on his knees and washes every one of the apostles' feet. Including Judas. The guy that he knows is going to betray him. He washes his feet. He gets his hands dirty. When we say we're willing to serve, are we willing to get our hands dirty? Now, I'm not just talking physical dirt. We may end up being in a situation where we need to help somebody, and it's not going to be easy. But are we willing to take the time to serve? Are we willing to take the time to help our brother and sister, or to take the time and help a complete stranger that has no idea who Jesus Christ is? And we may be the only connection that they meet to God. Or are we going to say, no, I don't want to get dirty. Let me walk away. The Good Samaritan was willing to get dirty. And he didn't even know the guy. Didn't even like his people. Remember, Samaritans and Jews hated each other. But he still got his hands dirty. Helped the guy. He risked his life to get that guy to safety, to bandage him up, to keep him from dying, risk his life, when two of his own people walked by and said, no, let me just walk by and keep going. Let's not be those type of Christians. Let's not be those type of people. Jesus gave them an example of how to serve. Let's not wait till someday to be willing to get dirty. Because let me tell you, if we keep saying that over and over and over again, we will never do it. Never, ever do it. We need to do it now. I love one of the things that Jesus said in Luke 6, if you want to turn your Bibles over there, Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verses 27, I want to read through verse 36. Jesus says this, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." As we read there, a couple verses. Verse 31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." If you were in a bad spot and you needed help, wouldn't you be thankful for somebody coming to help you? We need to have that same attitude. And then there towards the end, when he says, "Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." How many times do we hear somebody who's ungrateful and wicked and we go, "Just get them away from me. I don't want to be around them." Don't put off serving. Remember, I talked last week. We serve, we do things, not because of who the other person is, but we serve because we serve a God who loves us, because we, at one point, at some time in our life, have acted ungrateful and have been wicked, have been bad. God still loves us. And we're to model God in our lives. We're strive to be holy. So, when we say, "No, someday I'll help," and we never do, how is that striving to be holy? Our work for the kingdom of God is not going to be easy. There are some things we do, yeah, that are simple. But there are other things that we do when we serve that are going to be hard, that are going to be tough, they're going to be difficult. It may be difficult, but Jesus tells us it's worth it. It is worth it. John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, referring to himself, he must follow me and where I am. There my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. It's worth it. Serving God and not putting it off to someday, it's worth it. Now we've talked about being humble, having the right attitude. We've talked about choosing to serve. And when those opportunities come, we let our hands get dirty. Finally, our service should be our desire. Our service should be our desire. That's my point three. Back in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 35, we read about, you know, as we're getting towards the back end of Exodus, we start reading the parts that are hard to read because they're describing all the links of everything that goes in the tabernacle. And they're talking about building all these things. And you can read it and go, oh boy, this is my devotion for today. Oh, this is hard to read. Unless you really like looking at those numbers and seeing all the details about exactly how the tabernacle's built. But if you keep reading, you come to a section where Moses is telling everybody all this stuff they've got to do, or that he would like to see happen. All the things that they need. And then we find their response. Exodus 35, 29. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. They're like, this is what you need? All right, let's get it. Some of it was gold. Some of it was acacia wood. Some of it was different things. They went and got it and brought it. They desired to do it. So they did. We should have that desire. I love the words of Rick Warren when he said, faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God. You can retire from your career, but you can never retire from serving God. If we want to serve God, we're not going to put it off. Did you ever want to put off something that you wanted to do? It's easy to put off something that you don't want to do. That's easy to do. Oh, let me call and cancel that appointment. Let me send it back for a month later. Oh, doctor's appointment? No. Okay. I can't be there. Let's go 2 months from now. Oh, I've got to fix that. Oh, don't we have something we have to do today? If we want to serve God, then our desire, our hearts will lead to that. We won't want to put things off. You ever put anything off? We read in Scripture about a group of people who put things off and it got them in trouble. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew chapter 25. And to remind, refresh you of the story, we'll read it here, verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus says these words, at the time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. If we're putting off serving and saying we don't care about serving, how is our attitude with God? How's our relationship with God? Because if we don't care about serving God's kingdom, then do we care about God? Where are we at? Five virgins were prepared. They did what they needed to be done. They got extra oil. They were prepared. They did it because they knew the bridegroom was coming. The other five were like, yeah, I'll get there. Or maybe they can give me some extra if I need it. Somebody else can do the work. They can give me their oil. That didn't work either. That didn't work either. That does not work for the church to say, let's put it off. That's all right. We'll get them next time. We'll take care of that next time. Everyone is called to serve. Everyone is called to serve, and God has given us all these big hearts to use and to serve in different ways. How Phyllis serves is not the same way as how Linda serves. It's not the same way as how Jake serves. It's not the same way as how Greg serves or how Butch serves. It's not the same way. We are all called to do different things. Now, sometimes you may be doing the same things, but there's times when our hearts are following God, He's going to lead us to do things and other people to serve in other ways. Remember, we're a body. Some of us are an ear. Some of us are an eye. Some of us are a hand. Some of us are a leg. Some of us are, we're all different parts of the body, all working together to be the church, to serve. What happens when our hand says, I don't want to work today? You know, I had that happen. Both my hands go numb. Got the scars to prove it. Had to have surgery. Have them fixed. Now they do things when I tell them. Makes it hard to play guitar. Makes it really hard to play guitar. I'd be sitting there all the time shaking my hand behind my back trying to keep people from seeing it. What happens when we're the hand and we go numb? And God can't use us because we say, no, God, I don't want to. When we say, someday I'll do that, we're saying to God, no, God, I don't want to. We sound like a three-year-old throwing a tantrum. No, I don't want to pick up my stuff. No! Even though it was 100 times easier to get it out than it was to, it seemed like, for them to pick it up. When God calls us to serve, don't say no. Say, okay, what do you need me to do? I close with this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you. Don't put off serving. Don't wait till someday. We never know the impact of what we could be doing or who it will affect. We don't know. If we're putting it off to someday, it's probably not going to happen. You know, I've mentioned a number of words in this series that someday hijacks. Service, reconciliation, baptism, community, evangelism. I could give more. We could go for this series for a year or longer. But I think you get the point. Think you all understand what I've been saying. Serve God now. Don't put it off. Serve God now. Now is the time. Don't put it off. If you don't know Jesus, again, same thought. Now is the time. If you don't know Jesus, now is the time to give your life to Him. Now is the time to say, Lord, I need You. I need You in my life. I can't do this on my own. Now is the time to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. To repent. Stop doing it your way and doing it God's way. Be baptized. Start a new life. Bury that old life where we thought we were in control. We really weren't. Start a new life. You can do that today. Come forward and give your life to Christ. I'm going to ask Butch Dillon to come up. And if anybody wants to come forward, come up and talk with Butch. Won't you all stand? We're going to sing a song of invitation. You all know the song, I Surrender All. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, the song never said I surrender some, but that's how some people treat that song. I surrender some of the time, but it's really I surrender all. So if you'll sing with us a couple verses. I surrender all.